All right, open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 9, the book of John chapter 9. And I want to preach a message tonight called, Whose Disciple Are You? Whose Disciple Are You? And my goal tonight is to preach to Brianna and to Andrew, because what happens in life, every young person that grows up, they're brought along to a certain point by their parents. And I know that we have young people that come to this church whose parents do not come to this church. And those young people have choices to make based upon the Word of God. They come because they choose to. They come because they want to. And then we have young people that come and their parents have seen to it that they were brought to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, all the way along. And they're brought to church, and basically they're brought to church in a family where the parents have chosen that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is a great choice for those parents to make. And they make that choice. But then comes the point in time where the child and the parents separate due to age. At that point, Andrew, at that point, Brianna, there comes a choice where it's you now making the decision, as for me and my house, in the case of the man, and you looking for a man, as for me and my house, that he will stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the whole thing starts over again, and you bring your children to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you make sure that you are not a disciple of your parents, that you are not a disciple of a man, that you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, so I want to look at this. I want to look at it from the New Testament. I want to look at it from the Old Testament and preach a message on whose disciple are you? And I believe this message, it's not just for them, although we will be focusing that direction tonight. But this comes down to every single person, every single Christian has to come to a point in their life where they make a decision on whose disciple they are going to be. And we'll give some illustrations with this tonight. John chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. The Bible says, Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, talking about Jesus. This was a man. He had been born blind. He had been healed. And there was a question about who healed him. He gets tired of the questioning, and he says to these men, these religious people, he says, Will ye also be his disciples? At the end of verse 27. They looked at him, they reviled him, and they said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Verse 29 says, We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. These religious people admitted that they were followers of man rather than followers of God. These religious people admitted that they were following a man rather than following the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you did not know who he was, by all means, should you not seek out the truth of the Word of God and seek out who it was that Moses was talking about? Don't follow a man, you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and we will look at this message tonight. Father, I ask that you would help me tonight to preach. And Father, that you would take your word, and Lord, that you would powerfully ingrain it in the heart of each and every person that's here. Father, even at 43 years old, I have choices to make every single day about who I will follow and how I will follow. And God, I pray that you would keep me straightly on the right path every single day. Father, it only takes one moment of living in the flesh to destroy everything that has been built. And Father, I pray that you would help me as I preach tonight, God, to do your word justice. Father, to be able to take your word and show the message that you have so clearly given me tonight from your word. And Father, I pray that it may have an effect that would be lasting on this church for generations, because your word ought to affect us for generations. And we don't look at it as based upon one message. We look at it as based upon the whole of the Word of God and all of the preaching that takes place. But God, I pray that you would work tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here he is, he's follower of Moses. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, we're going to look at several passages of scripture. We're going to look at one thing tonight that I read that I had never seen before, and I've read it I don't know how many times, but I had not noticed it before. But this part here, Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, the Bible says this, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." What we're looking at here is a group of people. They had followed Moses out of Egypt. They had mistakenly come to the point that they thought that Moses was the one that was truly leading them, when the truth be told, it was God that had done it all. They had come to the conclusion that it was Moses that had accomplished those things in Egypt and had set them free and had brought them through the Red Sea, when the truth be told, it was God that had done every bit of that. And whether Moses is there or not, God is the same. So they come to this point, and okay, Moses is gone for 40 days. He goes up into this mountain, and we're going to look back at this just a moment, but he goes up into this mountain. He's gone for 40 days. What are you going to do when your pastor is gone for 40 days? What are you going to do when your parents are gone for 40 days? What are you going to do when the person that's leading you in your life is gone for 40 days? We'd better have a relationship with God. That is all that is going to keep us on track, because we cannot be followers of man. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. We're going to go back just a little bit. I want to show you tonight that these people knew who God was. Exodus chapter 24, verse 9 through 18, the Bible says this, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu," those are sons of Aaron, "and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness." These people, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 other men that were leaders in the tribe of Israel, these people went to this mount, and God gave them a very clear vision of himself. They saw God, as it were, standing in heaven with his feet on what appeared to them to be a sapphire stone. Picture that with me tonight. These people knew who God was, didn't they? They had met him. He had allowed them to see him as he was. Verse 11 says, "And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Up until this point, they did not have scripture. But God says, look, he says it to Moses. He says, I want you to come into the mount. I'm going to give you scripture. I'm going to give you the commandments for you to bring down to these people. Verse 13, "And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us." Now remember, these elders saw God. They had met God. It wasn't just Moses that saw God. These people had experienced the work of God for themselves. They'd seen it. Moses said, "Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let him come unto them." There was a complete confidence in Moses when he had known that Aaron and Hur and Nadab and Abihu and these 70 elders had seen God, that if anybody has any questions while I'm gone up in the mount, you come to these men. He had confidence that these men who had seen God, who understood who God was, who God had given a clarity of vision to see him as he was in heaven, they would surely still steer the people on the right track, right? Surely, people that knew who God was would surely steer people on the right track. And he turns this over to them. And Moses went up into the mountain, a cloud covered the mount. Verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now this glory abode upon the mount. These people down here, the nation of Israel, they're seeing this glory on the mount. They saw the smoke descend upon the mount. They saw the thunderings and the lightnings that we looked at this morning come down upon the mount. And verse 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, chapter 25 through 31 of Exodus is God speaking to Moses, giving him the instructions, the things that were written down. It has nothing to do with the nation of Israel to speak of. It has all to do with what God told Moses on the mount. So we come now to chapter 32. Chapter 32. The verse that we already read, verse 1. And we're going to read that verse again. And then we're going to jump to verse 21 through 23. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. So these people, they looked at Moses and said, he's been gone for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. It's not a long time, is it? Surely, these people who had seen God, all of Israel saw the glory on the mount. All of Israel saw the fire on the mount. All of Israel had experienced that God was real. All of Israel had seen God do the works of the plagues in Egypt to get them out of there. All of Israel had crossed the Red Sea. The leaders of Israel, God had given them a clear vision of him in heaven. Surely these people can live for God for 40 days and 40 nights without Moses. But there is a drastic problem. Everything that was in this entire nation, they were not looking at God, they were looking at a man. They were looking at Moses. And when Moses was gone, and they said, we don't know what happened to him. The people come to Aaron and they come to Hur and they come to these 70 elders and they say, make us gods. Up, make us gods which shall go before us. Why? Can't you picture Aaron saying, what are you talking about? Why? Because we don't know what happened to Moses. Does it make any difference what happened to Moses? How about God? Does it make any difference whether Moses ever comes down out of that mount again? These people knew God. These people had seen God. These people had had an experience. They knew they had walked with God. The pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud had led them through the wilderness. They had crossed the Red Sea. These people knew who God was. So then the question comes, will they live for him? No, how quickly people that are man-focused turn away from God. All it takes is for, the preacher disappeared for 40 days. What are we going to do? Well, we need to come up with something. Oh, how quickly people that base their faith upon their parents, people that base their faith upon a preacher, people that base their faith upon another man, people that base their faith upon a friend, people that base their faith upon maybe a personal experience rather than the Word of God, oh, how quickly they depart. How quickly they remove out of the way. So what happened? Verse 21 through 23, and we're not going to go into the whole thing. We know that Aaron made the golden calf. Verse 21 through 23, the Bible says, and Moses said unto Aaron, so he comes down out of the mount after he made the golden calf. Moses finds them there worshiping an idol in all kinds of wickedness and debauchery. And Moses says to Aaron, Here comes discussion time. Here comes Moses, the man that went up into the mountain, talking to Aaron, the man that had seen the plagues and been side by side with Moses throughout the whole time. And he says, Aaron, what did this people unto thee? Aaron, did these people put you on a rack and stretch you for days? Did torture you? Did these people pull your toenails out and your fingernails out? Did these people take pliers and pull each one of your teeth out individually? What did these people do to you? What in the world could have caused you to turn and worship an idol? You who have seen and experienced and known who God was, how in the world would you turn? Moses says unto Aaron, what didst this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? You know, it's interesting. Moses put all the blame on Aaron. And he says, you caused these people to sin. Aaron was to be the leader while Moses was gone. Andrew, there's going to come a time when Grandpa's not here anymore. And this man has seen, he's not perfect. We don't pretend that he's perfect, right? But this man has seen to it that the family has been consistently in church. But there comes a time when Grandpa won't be here to call you up and say, Andrew, are you going to live for the Lord? There comes a time where you cannot, it will be impossible for you to say, I'm going to live on Grandpa's faith. It's going to have to become yours. You're going to be the next leader. You're going to have to decide, I'm going to live for God. And there comes a point in Brianna's life where mom and dad aren't going to be there. And with mom and dad not there, the question comes and the question stands. Will Brianna live for God because she has faith in God for herself, or has Brianna been following her mom and dad her entire life? Does Brianna have a relationship with God, or does Brianna just have a submissive spirit to mom and dad? And this is what takes place, this decision. And Moses says, Aaron, what have you done? Verse 22, and Aaron said, oh, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Let's blame the people. And there's going to be people. They're going to say, you know what? Andrew, that Bible's not that important. Andrew, you can skip church on Sunday morning. Andrew, you don't need to go every time during the week. Andrew, you're tired. People will give you 100,000 excuses to quit serving the Lord. And they're going to come and they're going to say, but Brianna, you've got three little kids now. It's hard to get them up and get them around and get to church. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm just looking into the future, a practical future. So, and they're gonna, and every excuse in the world will be there for you to say, you know what? Maybe it's not quite that important to get there every time. Maybe it doesn't matter that much. I'm here to tell you it matters that you serve and follow God and that you have a relationship with Him based upon the Word of God, and it is so important that it becomes your relationship, not the relationship of your mom and dad, not the relationship of your grandpa and grandma, not the relationship of your pastor, not the relationship of your deacons, not the relationship of the youth pastor, not the relationship of the music director, but it's your walk with God. It's your getting up in the morning and saying, I am going to make sure that I read the Bible today. I am going to make sure that I spend time praying to God today. And verse 23 says, for they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, now we'll look at this next phrase, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. You see that? Now I ask you a question today. Who brought him out of Egypt? In no way, shape, or form was it the man that brought him out of Egypt. It was God that brought him out of Egypt. The whole problem that they had was they were following a man rather than following God. Was it God that parted the Red Sea, or did Moses do that? Was it God that sent the plagues, or did Moses do that? It was God that did that. But they said, "For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of Egypt," they credited the work of God to a man. The work that is done in your life, who saved you? Who led you to the Lord? Grandpa? Your mom? Your mom led you to the Lord. Who saved you? Jesus did, right? Now, mom showed you how. But the question is, are you going to follow mom, or are you going to follow Jesus? Because who did the actual work? Brianna talked to us a long time. She bowed the knee and prayed on her own before her bed one night. And we're like, whoa, she just got saved. But who saved you? Jesus saved you. If you're saved tonight, it's because Jesus saved you. No church saved you. No baptistry saved you. There is no man that saved you. No man could die on the cross to pay for your sins. God saved you. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. So they had this great sin. They were Moses followers instead of God followers. They were men followers. And men followers will often turn to follow other men. Now I want you to get this. Aaron was a man follower. When other men came with a new idea, guess what Aaron did? He followed the other men. Right? Because men followers, they'll just follow the next man that comes along. God followers will follow the word of God no matter what the next man that comes along says. Here comes the people. Aaron knew what was right, but Aaron followed Moses. Here comes the people and said, "Aaron, make us gods." Well, oh, I'm going to follow you people now. Oh, how quickly, if you are a man follower, you will follow the next man that comes along. And if the next man that comes along doesn't lead you in the right way, you're in trouble, because you never learned to follow the word instead of following the man. Vitally important that we have that relationship with God for ourselves. Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 through 4. This is where I read something that I had absolutely, somehow I missed it for 43 years. Now, the first 5 years, I don't blame myself. Beyond that, I don't know how I missed it. 33 verse 1 through 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham." Now, I always have to laugh at this, and this is not what I'm getting to, but I always have to laugh at this. When the people were doing wrong, Moses often said, "God, these people, your people." And God would often look and tell Moses, "Your people." Neither one of them wanted to take credit for the group that was doing wrong. Moses said, "Hey, God, these are your people that are doing wrong." God says, "Hey, Moses, these are your people that are doing wrong." So God looks at it and God says, "I'm so disgusted with these people. I don't want anything to do with them. They're wrong. They've sinned against me and they come to this point." And so God looks at Moses and says, "Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou brought up out of the land of Egypt." Now, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt? God did. But at this point, they're living such a life that God doesn't even want to claim them. Oh, I hope that that cannot be said of any person in this room. That you, even though God saved you, that God would say, "Hey, Pastor Decker, these people that you have here, I don't want you to be my people. I want you to be God's people. And I want God to be happy to claim you. And I want God to be proud to be your God." Just like parents are proud of their children when their children are doing right. Oftentimes we would have a little fun. "Well, these are your kids." Colleen says, "You know what your kids did today?" And I look at it and say, "Hey, you know what? I think they were yours today." Because there were days when it's like, okay, who's claiming this one? Right? So God says, Thou hast brought them out of the land of Egypt unto a land that I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and unto thy seed, and I will give it. Verse 2, here's where I'm looking at. And I will send an angel before thee. And I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now look at this. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. God says, you can go in the land, but instead of me bringing you into the land, I'm going to send an angel to bring you into the land. I don't know how many times I read that. I never saw it. God says, I don't even want to be in your midst. You're living a sinful life. I don't want to dwell in the midst of you. I'll give you the land because I promised it. But I'm just going to send an angel to do that job because I don't want to be around you. Now look what the next verse says, verse 4. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. What evil tidings? The evil tidings were this. Hey, look, according to all this verse, they're still going to get the land, aren't they? According to all this verse, God's going to keep his promises to them. So what are the evil tidings? The evil tidings were this. You're going to have to settle for an angel leading you because I will not go up in the midst of you. Andrew and Brianna tonight, are you willing to settle for an angel or do you want God himself leading you in your life? If you will live for God, God will lead you. If you choose to wallow in sin at some point in your life, you're still saved. You don't lose your salvation. But God looks at it and says, I don't even want to be in your midst. I don't want to be in your midst. Yes, you're still my child, but I don't want to go up in the midst with you. What a disaster. I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. I can't even be with you, because if I am with you, I may just end up. Remember, Moses had just talked God out of destroying the nation of Israel because of the sin that they had done. And now he says, look, I can't even be with these people. I can't even be with these people. Do you have a life? Do you live in sin in your life? Do you allow sin into your life that God says, you know what? The Holy Spirit, I'm in you. I indwell you because I promised that I would. And yeah, there's certain Bible principles that you've followed, and God will always bless Bible principles. But you give up the dear, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit of God working in you. That fellowship, that prayer time, that life that you can have with Him, you give it up. Why? Because you chose to follow man instead of following God. Does your life allow for a close relationship with God? Does your life allow for a close relationship with God? Look further, Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. This doesn't end here. So we continue on. They spent those next chapters from 32 on. They spent these next chapters building the tabernacle, collecting all of this. They come now to that first offering in the new tabernacle. Once they followed the law, they followed the instruction that Moses gave them after he went up into the mount the second time and got the instructions again because he came down and he broke them the first time. They followed the law. They've done the tabernacle. It's done. It's finished. They're getting ready for the first sacrifice. Nadab and Abihu, do you remember who they are? They're the sons of Aaron. Nadab and Abihu, guess what they saw? They saw God standing clearly in heaven. God allowed them to see him standing with his feet, as it were, on a sapphire stone. They saw the mountain. They saw the miracles. They saw all of this. But Nadab and Abihu, they were people that followed the man just the same way their father Aaron did. Now here they come. They get ready to do this sacrifice. Verse 1 and 2 of Leviticus chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Why? The nation of Israel had come to the point, they followed the instructions of Moses, they built the tabernacle, they had the altar there ready. These guys, they get incense, they put them in their altars, in their censers, they light the fire. Why did God kill them? God never told them to do that. It was their idea. Oh, this is what we need to do next. Wait a minute, God, what do you want us to do next? Moses, what is the next instructions from the Lord? See, these men that had been man followers, now man followers are going to turn and follow their own ideas. Doesn't matter that I don't have instruction from the Lord, I'm just going to do my own thing. Doesn't matter whether God said to or not, I'm just going to offer the fire myself. I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to do it my way, and here I go. Oh, how many churches today are full of people doing things their way rather than God's way. God gave us an instruction book. These two men, Nadab and Abihu, they would have been perfectly fine if they had just stood there and said, Moses, what do we do next? What are the further instructions from the Lord? Jump out of line, do your own thing, it leads to destruction. Especially when it comes to dealing with God's things. We don't get the option to say, oh, you know what? I think this would be a great idea. What does God say about it? We don't get to look at a church and say, you know what? I'm not going to preach on hell anymore so that we can get more people. Well, what's God think about that? I'm not going to preach against sin anymore because we'll have more people come to church. The offerings will grow. We'll be a better business if we cease preaching on sin. Well, what does God say about that? See, we have to stay with God's ideas. We have to continually be followers of God, not followers of man. Let God deal with what he wants to deal with. Let God bless how he wants to bless. And if God doesn't bless, let's seek his face some more and let God work. The power of God working in us. But men followers will sooner or later, they'll turn to following their own ideas. Oh, I think I can just go out to the woods and have church. I've heard it all, folks. It's not God's idea. Whose idea is it? It's man's idea. It's their own idea, right? Well, you know what? The King James Bible, it's not important anymore. It's not God's idea. God said, don't tamper with it, don't mess with it. People's idea to change it. You know what? You have trouble understanding the King James Bible? Probably you need to get saved. So what do you mean? The natural man understandeth not the things of God. The spiritual man understandeth all things. The reason that so many people say, oh, I read this and I don't understand it, if they'd get saved, the Holy Spirit would help them understand it. Instead, they want to manipulate and change the words, and ultimately it's just a plan of Satan to confuse people. We need to stick with the true Word of God, inerrant, infallible, what it is. That's God's idea. He's the one that said don't mess with it. It's man's idea to change it all up. It's God's idea to stick to the standards of the Word of God. It's man's idea to change and go away from them. It's God's idea to say, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. It's man's idea to turn to advertising. We must stay with the Word of God. We must continue following God in all things. Now, turn with me to John chapter 8. We're going back to the New Testament. John chapter 8, verse 33. John chapter 8, verse 33. And I'm going to wind this down, but I'm ultimately, and I'm going to bring out a couple points here yet concerning this very church and this very town. But John chapter 8, verse 33 says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's verse 32. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So again, Jesus is talking to religious people, and instead of saying, we're God's children, we have trusted God by faith, they said, we're Abraham's seed, men followers. Once again, men followers. Verse 39, and answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here they come to Jesus, these religious people. Now they were man followers. They were religious. They had a religious code that they followed, and they said, Abraham is our father. Was that good enough for Jesus? Jesus says, look, you need your father to be God. If your father was God, you'd love me. And then he called them out and said, look, Abraham's not your father. If Abraham were your father, you'd be doing the works of Abraham. What was the works of Abraham? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, right? That was the works of Abraham. He says, look, you'd believe me. You would trust in me. If you were Abraham's children, nor are you God's children. And he puts it right back on him and says, you are of your father, the devil. Right. Now that's a little confrontational, don't you think? We're Abraham's children. Well, you need to be God's children. But the truth be told, you're the devil's children. I don't know whether that would work out door knocking or not. That'd be quite interesting, right? This guy from Ottumwa Baptist Temple knocked on the door. He told me that my father was the devil. That's what Jesus did. Because Jesus told the truth and he told it how it was. And these people, what they needed to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed God for their father. But they're not going to change fathers until they realize the truth. We have gotten to such an age where we just try to pacify everyone's feelings instead of calling out sin and telling them what it is and saying, why don't you get saved? And trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then live for God. Don't be a man follower. Live for God. Verse 56 through 59 of the same chapter, 56 through 59, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now he refers back and says, your father Abraham, he loved me. He rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Who else called themselves I am? I am. And they picked up stones. They took up stones to cast at him, and Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. These men were men followers rather than God followers. John 5:45. John 5:45. John 5:45 says this, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. He looks at him and says, okay, followers of Moses, disciples of Moses, men followers. Guess what? When you get to heaven, I won't even have to accuse you. Moses will. Moses will. And Moses will do a pretty good job of it. Just open the books of Genesis to Deuteronomy, compare your life to that. The accusation of Moses would stand pretty strong. And then John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Here they were, the religious people again. Here's what they did. They looked at it and said, well, Moses gave our fathers bread from heaven. Jesus says, Moses didn't give it to them. See, all of this, everything about this, we've got followers of men and we've got followers of God. Which are you? I am tired of going out knocking on doors and finding people behind these doors, and here's what they say. Well, I went to that church when A.D. Pringle was the pastor there, but when he quit being the pastor there, I quit going to church. Do you know how many times I've heard that in the last year? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of meeting people that when the man they were following wasn't there to follow anymore, they quit. Was it A.D. Pringle's fault? No, I believe he preached the truth. He preached Jesus Christ. It's the people's fault. They never got past seeing A.D. Pringle to see Jesus. And the fact stands, I don't want people to be followers of Pastor Decker. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to build your life based upon the Word of God, and it had better be your faith. You will never make it if it's your father's faith or your grandfather's faith or your mother's faith. You will not make it. Yes, I'm the pastor of this church, but you will never make it if this is not completely your faith, your desire, your love. This has to be, your life has to be not in what dad did or what mom did. Your life has to be, what does God want me to do? I need to know the Word of God for myself. I need to read it every day for myself. I need to have a relationship with God, because if you don't, if you are just a man follower, guess what? One day I won't be here. And if you people are men followers and one day I'm not here, what's going to happen is somebody else is going to be out knocking on doors and they're going to say, well, I quit going to church when Pastor Decker died. Shame on anybody that quits over a man. And there's plenty of men that they were faithful, 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 and then they fell. And if you're a man follower, what are you going to do in that day? See, it doesn't matter what a man does. The Word of God has not changed. It doesn't matter what I do. The Word of God has not changed. Now, I want to lead you in the right way. I want to be able to look at you and say, follow me even as I follow Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul did. But the Apostle Paul is dead. He's not here anymore. Brother Pringle's not here anymore. Greg Lockett's not here anymore. Pastor Miller's not here anymore. And there will come a day when I won't be here anymore. I hope it's not real soon. I don't plan on dying. Real quick, anyway. Maybe somebody will knock me off before it's all said and done. So we're tired of this guy. But the bottom line is, you had better learn to follow Jesus. If the young people of this church had put their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, you could calculate it up, there wouldn't be any empty pews in here tonight. There are enough people in this town that I have met that used to come, but they didn't like the next preacher. Or things aren't exactly the same as the way they were. And I'm not talking about my transition. I'm talking about the transition 30 years ago. There are enough people that I have met in this town, if they and their children and the people that used to come here were here tonight. And I'm not talking about the dead ones. I'm talking about the ones living in Ottumwa, Iowa right now. If they were here tonight, this place would be full. You know what the problem was? They were men followers instead of God followers. They never got their eyes on Jesus. They never got their eyes on the Word of God. They never got their eyes on their own relationship with God. They left it with a man, and now they follow their own ideas. And their own ideas tell them, we don't need to go to church. It's not quite the same as it used to be. The only reason to quit going to this church is if they walk away from the Word of God. If I cease preaching the Bible, kick me out. The Word of God is of utmost importance. You've got to get it, Andrew. Brianna's got to get it. But every one of us have to get it. This is not the time for playing Christianity. This is the time for having a real live relationship with a real live God. And I dare say, looking at this group of people that's here tonight, as far as I know, there is not a person in this room that does not know who God is. And there's probably not a person in this room that does not own a King James Bible to be able to read and follow for themselves. It's about choices. Let's make the right choices. Let's follow God in a right way. Whose disciple are you? Let's stand to our feet. We'll have an invitation.